Hello and welcome back to another episode of Horribly Happy. I'm your host, Jenna.
And I'm your host, Sophie.
And we are back at it after a week off.
Yeah.
Hey. We did take Thanksgiving week off. As you guys know, sometimes we need a break, and that's okay.
Yes. And I was traveling and just like wasn't prepared. I didn't bring anything. So.
Yeah, no, that's okay. Family time is good. Downtime is good. Yeah.
Hope everyone had a great turkey day. I was listening to Two Hot Takes and how she's like, I don't want to call it Thanksgiving anymore because of like
the
true meaning behind it. She's like, we should just change the name and just talk about how it's just like getting together with family and eating good food. So she's like, turkey day.
I feel like it has gotten away from like... It's more just about like spending time with family.
Yeah. I mean,
maybe in school and whatever, it's still like talking about like the origins of Thanksgiving that are falsely taught in some cases.
No, I think it is definitely school is like the place where it's incorrectly taught.
Yes. But we do hope everybody had a great Thanksgiving. We are thankful for you. If you don't live in the States, I just hope you had a great weekend and week.
Yeah.
Too.
Yeah. Yeah.
Sophie recently got a big promotion.
Oh yeah. Yeah, I got a new job. Actually, that was also a promotion. I still work at the same place. I really like my company, so I'm happy to still be working there. But yeah, I started my new job last week and they had nothing for me to do. So it was actually kind of nice transition. I mean, my new manager was like, you know, if you were to like switch companies, you typically have like a week or two off. Like that's just how it usually goes. So he's like, just consider this like your week off in between positions. And like, if you need to step away and do things and work on your house, like I don't care at all. So it was actually kind of nice to like come off of Thanksgiving and then have a slow week, and then I travel for work again next week, so I think things will pick up pretty quickly. But yeah, I'm super excited. I'm like kind of transitioning careers in a way, even though I will still be affiliated with the underwriting process. But
yeah,
I'm excited.
Big moves, buys a house, gets a promotion, just living that city girl life.
That boss babe life.
Hashtag boss babe.
Thank you.
But congratulations. Really big. Sophie hosted a few gal pals last night before we went out for dinner. So she has entered her hosting era, made us a nice little cocktail. That was fun and sweet.
Yes, I had some girlies over before dinner last night. Used my new cocktail glasses from my dear friends, Jenna and Sarah. And then, yeah, I tried making like a holiday themed drink. I don't know. I just like Googled holiday themed drink and it was pretty good in my opinion because you couldn't taste the alcohol, but there was like a lot of alcohol in it.
Oh yeah. And it was tequila based, which is the best. And it was really good.
Yeah. So if you want the recipe, slide into my DMs. I'll send it to you. Slide right in.
Hit her up.
Yes. That's what she said. Anyway. Yeah. So I've entered my hosting era.
Slay. We do have a few updates just regarding like news and stuff that might be interesting to the pod.
Horrible news updates.
Yeah. First off, I just wanted to talk about Elizabeth Holmes, who we know I covered in a past episode and had a slight obsession with her. She did get sentence.
You had an Elizabeth Holmes era.
Okay. I was in my Holmes era. I saw a TikTok that's like Elizabeth Holmes ruined black turtlenecks for blonde girls because everybody looks like Elizabeth Holmes in it.
That's so
and
true.
I have a few black turtlenecks. Every time I put it on, I'm just like in my Holmes era. So she did get sentenced, and she was sentenced to 11 years in federal prison. For just a refresher, defrauding investors through her blood testing company. I just I don't know what's right in this scenario, but oh, I don't know where to go with this.
It's so
I kind of covered it on the Elizabeth podcast where maybe this is like the right sentencing and all of that, but nobody else in this industry is getting this type of treatment. So yeah. Some people are thinking, and like, maybe that's wrong because it's like, yeah, you should not be defrauding investors and like, you should not be inflating and telling lies about your business. But like,
well, I think what it comes down to is like, is it wrong to defraud investors and lead them astray? Yes. Is it illegal? I don't know. Well,
it was in this case.
Well, yeah, yes. But like, I guess, yeah. But how many people are kind of doing that? No,
that's exactly what I'm about to say, because Adam Neumann, who is the founder of WeWork, there's like so much controversy around him and like same type of stuff. But like WeWork obviously was dealing with like workspaces rather than like people's actual like blood test results. But like he has had no like significant legal ramifications. And it just is like, they're really making an example out of Elizabeth Holmes for this industry, which I guess it's like the court found her guilty and she was guilty. And then they sentenced her. But a lot of people, like a lot of experts think they're just trying to make, an example out of her, which, you know.
And they choose a woman to do it.
Yeah.
Which, yeah.
Exactly. And it does feel a little bit maybe different because she was dealing with people's actual health results and all of that. And I don't think she's a good person. So let's just be clear on that.
Yeah.
I think what she did was wrong. It just is like so extreme compared to how other people in the industry are treated for stuff like this.
There's no consistency. And like, yes, I know her company, maybe had a higher level of risk because it was involving people's health and well-being, but that shouldn't be an argument either. Like, you should just never be lying about
it's the culture in that industry. It's fake it till you make it, and she was doing that. She was doing exactly what everybody, all of her, you know, mentors were telling her to do and were doing as well. So just like a interesting, you know, I think she's appealing the decision, but she has a new baby. It's just like, she's there, you go. And she or her partner Sunny Balwani will also be sentenced soon, and I think they're recommending like a similar sentence for him. So that's the update there. Just, you know, don't defraud people, okay?
Yeah. And also hold everyone to the same standard.
Yes. Okay. So the other item we wanted to talk about is the horrible, horrible murders of the four students at the University of Idaho. Mm-hmm. This has been all over the news recently, and it's unsolved, which is just crazy. Do you know a lot about the murders or what's going on?
Yeah, I mean, I see a lot on TikTok, and I am like, I'll be honest, like, I don't know what's reliable and what's not. So I definitely know the gist of it. And then I've just been seeing like a lot of conspiracies or like he said, she said, and stuff like that. It's truly devastating. And I'm so scared that it's going to go unsolved.
I know. So Kaylee Goncalves, 21, Madison Mogan, 21, Zanna Kernodal, 20, and Kernodal's boyfriend, Ethan Chapin, 20, were murdered in their home before Thanksgiving break at university. It's a small town in Idaho. The last murder there was in 2015.
It's like a college town because the university's there. Yeah.
And they were, all four of them were stabbed in their sleep. It's just so terrible. And
well, we don't know if it was in their sleep.
Well, yes, that's what's speculated. But
in the middle of the night, yes, they were attacked and murdered.
Yes. And the crime scene investigators have reported that it's like the worst thing they've ever seen in their career.
Yeah. I don't know how much like I want to dive into conspiracy or like speculation. So,
well, oh yeah, that's one thing I wanted to point out is that there was two other roommates in the house that were fine. They did not encounter the attacker. They didn't even know
what was happening. Yeah.
So there was some speculation with them. However, investigators have cleared them. Mm-hmm. And investigators are warning against conspiracy theories and essentially just saying like, hey, let us do our job. Yeah. That being said, like one of the victims' sisters is like doing her own research and like essentially investigation. And she's like found like pretty crucial information on her own. Like she found footage of two of the girls at a food truck the night it happened, and some other information. So yeah, I think it's important to not make assumptions in cases like this, but I really, really hope that, I mean, I think it's okay to talk about like what spread the information because it's unsolved. So like if somebody knows something, the more information that is
just be aware of like where your sources are.
Yeah, exactly. But like the more we're talking about it, the more the case is in the public, the more likely it's going to be solved. Yeah. Which is good, but it's just like obviously you don't want to make like harmful accusations. I don't even know like the conspiracies. I haven't really gone down that rabbit hole.
I guess I don't know conspiracies either, but what I think are facts known to be true is that Kaylee and Madison were kind of together that night, like were out together and returned home together. And then Zanna and her boyfriend were together, went out together, returned home together. So like the four of them weren't together as a group. I think one conspiracy or thought is that only one of the, that either Kaylee or Madison was the intended target and others just kind of got caught in the crossfire. I know they're looking at boyfriends, ex-boyfriends, another person of interest, if they've even, I don't even know if that's been officially been used in this case right now, but, I can't remember if it was Kaylee or Madison worked with someone who was made her feel uncomfortable. And he lived like across the street. They think he had like a really good view of like some rooms inside the house, just like from where he lived. And yeah, those are like all the people of unofficial people of interest I've like heard through the media. I think like the boyfriends and stuff have been cleared, but I mean, so many times police will clear people and then still go back to them. There's a lot of police tactics that are used that we don't know.
Right.
I kind of feel like either one, they have no idea who it is, or two, they know who it is and they're just like waiting for them to slip up or build a case.
Right.
There was one
of the girls, I can't remember who, I think it was Kaylee and Madison, were calling one of their boyfriends or ex-boyfriends like over and over again, like right before they were estimated to be the attack happened.
But
like who knows what they were trying to do? Were they trying to get help or like, you know what I mean?
Or were they just being annoying drunk girls? Like,
right.
Yeah, it's so hard to know. And then I think it's just also interesting that like the police weren't called until the next morning around noon. And it's like, they haven't released, they know that the phone call was made from one of the roommates' phones, but they haven't released who actually was like on the phone with them. So there's so many details that they're holding close to the chest, which I get, but it's really fueling the speculations and it just makes it that much more fascinating because you're just like, how did this happen?
And I
like,
think it's also, it's, well, it's so heartbreaking and it's really jarring and it's so sad, but sometimes people forget that it's real life, like whatever on TikTok and YouTube or whatever, people are like, you know, kind of making it into like a media spectacle where it's like, okay, these are real 20-year-olds that literally just tragically lost their life. So I think it's important to like take a breath and like really realize that before, you know, you post like a TikTok trying to go viral. Not saying you, Sophie, I'm just saying like in general, sometimes I feel icky like seeing that kind of stuff.
Yeah. Well, I'm not posting any TikToks,
but no,
yeah,
I know
exactly what you mean. Yeah. Anyway, so yes, it's really sad. I'll definitely be keeping up with it. And I really, really hope they're able to solve it and bring justice to the families. But like Jenna said, these are real people. And it's really, really devastating.
Yeah. On a lighter note, we're going to transition to talking about Spotify Wrapped, which is no real transition to talking about that.
So. No smooth transition.
Yeah. Okay. So Spotify Wrapped came out for 2022. Of course, our Queen Taylor is both mine and Sophie's number one artist.
Obviously.
So I just always think it's interesting to hear about people's music choices. Like when people post their Spotify Wrapped on their stories, some people's like, oh, it's so annoying. It's like, no, yeah. I want to see what people are listening to. Like, I feel like you're like learning, like,
yeah,
kind of like a deep, dark secret. Like not everybody shares that information.
I think what many people learn about me is that I'm a basic B because my top genre is pop and like all my artists are pop. But that being said, I listen to music, but I'm not like the biggest listener of music.
Yeah. Like how many minutes did your Spotify Wrap track?
9,279.
Mine was 69,000, which isn't even that much compared to some people I've seen, but also my podcasts were 100,000.
Oh my gosh. And see, I don't listen to my podcast on Spotify. I should. I don't know why.
Yeah. I like that. I like doing it on Spotify, but my top genre was indie pop. So a little bit of a quirk there.
I like that. Do you want to go through your five top artists or no?
Yeah, I'll go through my five top, which is such a relief from last year.
Are you going to say?
Yeah, because I like get fixated on things, as we know, my Elizabeth Holmes era. And last year I was fixated on Bo Burnham. So
as a lot of people were.
Yeah, well, he came out with the Inside Special.
Yeah.
I think I took it to a whole nother level. And all previous years, every single Wrapped, Taylor Swift has been my number one, always, always. Okay, so then Bo Burnham's my number one by like not even close. And every single top song is Bo Burnham. I'm like, oh my God, this is embarrassing. But I didn't post it anywhere last year. I'm like, I don't need to disclose this about myself. Yeah. But this year, my top artists were Taylor Swift, Phoebe Bridgers, who I actually was worried might boot out Taylor Swift, but both Queen. Oh, wow. Number three, Harry Styles. Number four, Chelsea Cutler. And number five, Noah Kahan, who sings Stick Season. Mm-hmm. My top songs were all Phoebe, which is why I was like, oh, I wonder if it'll be over Taylor this year. I really got into the Phoebe groove this year. Like I've always liked her, but then I just like became obsessed.
Yeah, you really like leaned into her this year.
Yeah, I was in my Phoebe era.
Yeah, all year pretty much. I think that's very adequate.
Kind of a sleigh.
It is. So my top artist is Taylor Swift, no brainer. And then I have Quinn 92 and Chelsea Cutler. Love those two. They just came out with a new song together. I haven't listened to it
yet. Yeah, and they like tour together. They're like
they're the cutest friends.
Yeah.
Yeah. And then four, the Lumineers, which I feel like is kind of random, but
the Lumineers, I do remember. Great.
No, I know, but I just was like, I just like went through like a month of listening to one of their older albums. Like it was just, I was in my feels. And then five, Harry Styles, which surprises me a little bit because I like Harry Styles, but I'm not like Harry Styles on repeat. But I guess I did listen to his new album like pretty frequently when it first came out.
Yeah.
But yeah. I was surprised. I only had one song on my top songs be from Taylor Swift, but I think it's because like when I listen to Taylor Swift, I listen to like a whole album or just even her whole discography. So very rarely am I just like picking out one song from her.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, I think my top three are really solid and I feel like very much show the artists I listen to, but I'm looking at my top songs. I made a playlist called Girly Pop this summer, which was just like, it wasn't even like a sad album, but it was just like a For the Girls album. So many of the songs from that playlist are my top songs because I would just like play that.
I need to go check out that that playlist that you made.
Yeah, I don't usually make playlists, but I like that one.
Okay,
I'll make sure it's like public. I don't know if it is. I'll look.
Very cool. Yeah. So let us know if your Spotify wraps are similar or not. I had Zach guess mine. He got the top, he got 1, 2, and 3 perfectly in a row, and then he didn't get the other two. But that's
wait, who was number 3? Harry Styles?
Yeah.
Okay.
I said, who's number 1? And he was like, Taylor. And he goes, duh. Let me guess. Taylor, Phoebe, Harry. I'm like,
yeah.
Yeah.
You got it. Oh my gosh. Got it, babe. Yeah. Anyway, I do like Spotify Wrapped.
It's the best time of the year.
It is. It is fun.
Oh, and I liked how like all of the artists like gave you like a little thank you for being in their Spotify Wrapped. Did you see the artist thanks videos?
Yes.
Except Phoebe didn't and Harry didn't. I'm like, guys, what are you doing?
Well, yeah. Well, Harry's like been touring for 7 years straight, feels like.
He can take a 3-second video though.
No, I know. I know. But I just like can't believe how many shows he's been doing. I'm like,
oh my gosh. Yeah, he's been nonstop. I saw like there was like a video of like an old man dancing and just like getting after it in a funky outfit. And somebody was like Harry Styles at age 80 because he's just like nonstop.
For sure.
Yeah.
Love that.
Yeah. So let us know if your music tastes align or give us some recs. But yeah, let's get into the stories. I think we have some good ones coming up or some horrible ones.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay. My story is one that I've like wanted to do forever. And, I haven't because I have a book about it that I keep being like, I need to read this book before I do this story. And I just like, am not getting around to it and I just want to do it. But my mom's going to be so mad that I haven't read the book and I'm doing this story. What so. I'm doing my story on the Donner Party, which I bet you've never even heard of.
No.
Because I have never heard of it either. I had never heard of it either until my parents moved out west to Nevada. And the first time I visited them is when they told me about this story. And I was like, what? But anyway,
you have not read the book.
I have not, but when I read the book, I'll do another update on any details I learn.
Okay.
But I just like really wanted to do it. So
yeah, I'm locked in.
My sources this week are Britannica, Wikipedia, and legendsofamerica.com. Okay. So the Donner Party, named after the expedition's captain, George Donner, was a group of American pioneers who migrated to California in a wagon train from the Midwest in the mid-1800s. So the fertile farmlands of Central California drew a steady stream of settlers in the 1840s. In the spring of 1846, several families from Springfield, Illinois, joined the westward migration. The families of brothers George and Jacob Donner and local businessman James Reed left Springfield on April 14th, 1846.
Okay.
So we're going back in time a little bit.
Yes. Time travel.
Think Oregon Trail.
No, this is like ringing a slight bell to me.
Because I might have told you about this, like after I first visited my parents.
Yeah. Okay.
Like, whatever. Okay. Yeah. So with all three families, employees and additional team members, the initial party included 31 people. And within the first month, the Donner Party had reached Independence, Missouri. It was in Missouri that they became part of a main wagon trail headed west around mid-May. In 6 weeks, the group had made it to present-day southeastern Wyoming, covering about 650 miles in that time span. So they're making good moves.
Okay. Good for them.
At the end of July, the group divided, with most of the wagon training turning north towards Fort Hall, which is present-day southeastern Idaho, to use the well-known Oregon Trail to continue the journey west. So this was like the most frequented trail that people were taking to go out west.
Right.
But the Donner Party and a number of others chose to head southwest towards Fort Bridger. So that would kind of take you down towards Nevada. The group had elected to use this shortcut to California that Reed had read about in a book called The Immigrant's Guide to Oregon and California by Lansford W. Hastings, who advertised a new shortcut across the Great Basin. So essentially, like, many people before them had already traveled west, and this guy, Lansford Hastings, was like, hey, there's actually this shortcut. And Reed had read about it and was like, I think we should do it. So in Wyoming, this is when they had made that decision, but apparently they were advised against it by an old friend who had just completed his journey from west back east. And he was like, I wouldn't do that, but they decided to go for it anyway.
Okay.
So the party then elected around this time for George Donner to serve as its leader. And at its peak, the Donner Party would include 87 people, 29 men, 15 women, and 43 children, along with 23 ox-drawn wagons. So it's a big crew.
Mm-hmm.
On July 31st, the Donner Party entered the shortcut known as the Hastings Cutoff. The route would take the group south of the Great Salt Lake in Utah. Hastings had claimed, so the guy who wrote this book, had claimed this route would shave off more than 300 miles of the journey. In reality, the Hastings Cutoff was 125 miles longer than the established trail, which ran north of the Great Salt Lake.
No.
And would lead the pioneers through some of the most inhospitable country in the entire Great Basin.
Did the author ever even take the journey?
No.
What?
He didn't even take the journey, which Reed and the party didn't know. They thought like he had taken it and had written about it. Come to realize he's a liar. I know. Okay. I know. So initially the Donner Party made good progress. However, they had to break a new trail through the nearly impassable terrain of the Wasatch Mountains, which caused them to lose about 2 weeks of time. So for people who haven't been out west, or maybe have, just like, you know, you start hitting mountains out there, like, it's treacherous. Yeah. for sure, to be traveling by foot, which I think even like going north in Idaho, it still would be, but that was just like a more well-traveled trail.
Mm-hmm.
And so their goal also was to get to California by like fall, because the mountains also, you know, start getting snow earlier.
Right.
Than like us Midwesterners. I don't know. Like, there's snowtop mountains all year, potentially. But the weather can be kind of nuts. So on August 30th, after they gather as much water and grass as they could carry, they entered the Great Salt Lake Desert. Hastings had told them that they would be able to cross the desert in 2 days. However, it took the party 5 days. So they're just like falling more and more behind. The party lost dozens of cattle in the desert, and several wagons had to be abandoned.
Mm.
By the time the Donner Party reached the Humboldt River, which is north central Nevada, where the Hastings Cutoff actually rejoins the main California trail, it was late September. All the other migrants of the 1846 crew had already completed their journey to California at this time. So the ones who went north towards the Oregon Trail had finished. But the Donner Party was racing the weather to clear the passes in the Sierra Nevada. At this point, tensions were running high among the exhausted migrants. And October 5th, an altercation between Reed and another member of the party ended with Reed fatally stabbing the man.
Oh, gosh.
Some party members suggested that Reed be hanged, but instead he was just banished from the party.
Was Reed the leader?
He wasn't the leader. George Donner was.
Oh, yeah. Okay.
It was
yeah.
like three of them. And Reed was like number two or number three.
Okay.
So instead of being hanged, he was just banished from the party, and he would continue west on horseback while the rest of his family remained with the Donner Party.
Sad.
I know. But he better than being hanged. He did murder someone. Okay. So the party began the ascent of the Sierra foothills, low on foot, and the Paiute Warriors, which is a Native American group, had killed several of the remaining oxen when they came in contact with them.
Mm.
So they're just like, they're behind, they're running low on resources. It's not looking good. So at this point, members of the group had buried virtually all of their personal possessions except for food, clothing, and the bare essentials in an effort to minimize the load on their exhausted animals. On October 31st, the wary migrants approached what is now called Donner Pass across the Sierra Nevada and found the progress blocked by the deepening of the snow. So there was like record snowfall at this time. Like there is typically snow at this time, but record amounts.
Yeah.
So the crew had to stop. And most of the party built crude cabins near what is now known as Donner Lake. And Donner Lake is maybe like a 20 minute drive from my parents' house. So I've been there.
Oh, wow.
That's
crazy.
And I've walked through Donner Pass. I'll talk about it at the end. So the Donners, whose progress was delayed by a wagon accident, made a similar camp a few miles further east on a trail near Alder Creek. So a couple, like one of the Donner families, subgroup, they got stranded a little back.
Okay.
8 days of almost continuous snow followed, during which time many of the oxen wandered off and were lost. So then they just like literally lose the rest of their animals. On November 20th, Patrick Breen, whose family had joined the party in Independence, Missouri, began a diary, which he continued until March 1st. Breen's account of the winter of 1846 through 1847 would provide the only contemporary written record of the Donner Party's ordeal. So on December 15th,
just like waiting for winter to be over, essentially. Yep.
So on December 16th, a party of 10 men and 5 women set out to cross the mountains on improvised snowshoes. So 15 of the party are like, we need to move, push forward so that we can get people to come back and help.
Mm-hmm.
8 of the men died of this group of 15, and the bodies of some of them were eaten by others.
Okay. So
there's some cannibalism going on here.
Okay.
So 2 men and all the women eventually got through to the Sacramento Valley. The settlers of California organized a relief party, which left Sacramento on January 31st, 1847. Struggling through the deep snow, 7 men reached the lake camp on February 18th. So like almost 3 weeks to get there. So then they took 23 starving immigrants, including 17 children, back to the settlements, but several deaths occurred on the way. Other relief parties followed, but because of illness and injuries, it was impossible to remove everyone. After dogs and cow hides had been devoured, many deaths occurred, and the survivors were forced to resort to cannibalism of the dead bodies.
Oh my goodness.
The last survivor of Lewis Kiesberg, who had supported himself during the last weeks by cannibalism, did not leave the camp until April 21st.
Oh my gosh.
5 of the immigrants died before reaching the mountain camps, 34 at the camps or on the mountains while attempting the cross, and 1 just after reaching the settlement. 2 men who had joined the party at the lake had also died. So the totals were 42 deaths and 47 survivors. So almost 50% of the Donner Party died on their way west.
Wow.
So I feel like this is like such a juicy story because people are like, the Donner Party and cannibalism. It was like a very small part of their journey, but obviously like very tragic. But
yeah,
they didn't kill anyone to eat them, except there is speculation that there were 2 people actually murdered for food. But other than that, it was like they had passed and they didn't have any other options and they needed to survive. So then they would eat them. So, and not everyone participated in cannibalism, I also read, which, whatever, but okay. So I have been to Donner Lake and Donner Pass, and there's like a memorial kind of set up, and I can't even remember how high the snow was, but they have like a statue that shows like how high the snow was. And it's like unreal, like 20 feet. Actually so tall. So then you can actually like go, there's like a rock, a big rock, like a boulder that was used as like one of the walls of like the cabin or shelter back then, that is still like upright and you can see like where the fire was, like they would fire because then it would warm the rock and then the rock would emit heat. So like you can still see that and you can see like the fire burn marks of like where people lived, which that's is wild. So nuts. Yeah. So that's just a little history lesson that I feel like people don't know. Like I did not even know that existed at all.
So I mean, how do you get to Donner Pass? Are you able to drive there now or do you have to like hike up?
No, you can just drive there. And there's like a visitor center and then you just like park and then you just walk like a quarter of a mile to like where this rock was. It's like not even a hike, I wouldn't say. And then there's just like, you know, like little plaques of like facts and stuff. It's like very touristy and like kind of like a sightseeing place. So if you're ever out in the area, it's really cool to check out. And then Donner Lake is beautiful. Like there's a bunch of cabins out there now. Like it's kind of like a mini Lake Tahoe, more affordable than buying a cabin on Lake Tahoe. But obviously like it's easy for us to just like drive up the mountain.
Right.
But when you're like out there, and I was just like out there this past weekend and we went to Grass Valley, California, which like you can look it up on a map if listeners are interested, but you're driving through the mountains. And like every time I'm doing that, like every time we're doing that, like in the car with my parents, we're just like, can you guys believe the Donner family like walked up these mountains? Cause like you think, obviously, you know, people migrated west and you know, but this was just such a big group party and it was just like so tragic and so misled. And then the cannibalism aspect.
How did the people, the survivors get through? Like spring happened and they were able to leave?
No, I think these rescue groups came and then they like were able to provide them like food and stuff and then lead them through.
Okay.
And they kind of went in groups. Like they couldn't take everyone at once. Cause I think like, you know, one of the biggest issues is like one, they ran out of food. So people like didn't have the energy. So if these relief groups were able to bring them food and get them kind of like beefed up again, they could like finish the trek. But they took like women and children first, of course. But yeah, it's just like, I don't know. I just find it fascinating.
So fascinating. And
but, yeah,
the speculations of possible murder for food is crazy.
Yeah. So these like two guys, when they had like set up camp at Donner Lake, because they're like, we're stuck, two guys had joined them. I don't really know the story behind them. And I think they were potentially like Native Americans, but also trying to go west. So I think they were kind of like already seen as outcasts. And I think they were part of that initial 15 group that was like, we need to go get help.
Yeah.
And they were running out of resources and they kind of like, it's nothing is confirmed, but they were like kind of sacrificed as food for these people, which is super disturbing. I mean, it's also disturbing. I just like can't even imagine being at a point when you're needing to survive and you have to decide between eating.
Yeah.
Oh, family and friends.
Jeez. I want to go to Reno with you one time and I definitely want to go. That's wild.
It's cool to see. It's just like a little attraction and just like a cool history lesson that I didn't know about till a couple years ago.
Yeah. Holy moly. Thanks for sharing.
That's the Donner Party, baby.
Okay, then read the book and give us all the dirty deeds.
I will, yeah.
All right, I'm going to transition to my happy story, which is a story of survival as well.
Ooh.
So it's like, whatever. It's not like Butterfly and Roses. Okay, so I got this story idea from TikTok, from a creator on TikTok whose username is _kickitkenny_9. Okay. And then my other source is ktvb.com, which is a local news station. Okay. I saw this girl scrolling on TikTok and found out about her story. And I'm curious to see if you've seen this video. So
okay,
I'm going around that it's like people who were in car crashes or in a situation, it's like, why, or like, I don't really know what the trend is. It's like you ask a question of why you didn't do something and then you show a photo of why you couldn't.
Oh, yes. Yep.
You go, the thing is, why didn't you call 911 when you got into your car accident? And then her answer is because I was too high. And then she shows a picture of herself hanging from a power line.
Oh my gosh. Like, yes.
Yes.
I've seen this girl.
Yes. So she wasn't actually like high because of substance. She was too high in the air because she was hanging from a power line.
Yeah.
And that video went like super viral, like millions and millions of views.
Yes.
It's funny. And then like the caption is like, it's okay to laugh. Something like that. And yeah. I looked into this girl more and she was,
it's so disgusting. I know. Remember. Okay.
Okay. I'll go into it more.
Yeah.
So she's a high school student and she got into a car accident, and I'll go into this story now. And just to like preface this, everybody in this story survives. So there is good outcomes here. But I just like started scrolling through her page, going to her Instagram, all of this to figure out like how she's doing now, what happened. And I'll go into that. So, in May of 2021, so recently, 17-year-old Kennedy Littledyke of Burley, Idaho, was looking forward to a night out with two of her friends in a nearby town of Declo. The night ended with teenagers getting into a horrific car accident. Kennedy was behind the wheel. She overcorrected and hit a power pole. The car rolled several times. So this is a news article that she was interviewed in. I watched a video of her talking about this news article as well, because they got some things wrong. So I'm just going to read the news article and then I'm going to go into some of her recaps.
Okay.
She said, we started flipping and rolling. I don't know how many times we flipped and rolled, but my car was pretty far out in the field at that point. All three of the teens were thrown from the car, but unbelievably, Kennedy was launched about 30 feet up onto an overhead power line. She was hanging by one of her legs.
I know, this is what I don't understand is like, I understand people can be thrown from a vehicle, but she was catapulted from the vehicle.
30 feet.
Yeah.
High, 30 feet high.
Yes.
She said, I don't remember much about being on the wire. I remember being up there. It was pitch black and I was really high and upside down. Like she was really high in the air and upside down.
Yeah.
I was confused and I was trying really hard not to cry. I was looking down at everybody and there was a white tarp underneath me and I was confused why they couldn't just get me down. So it was something first responders had never seen before, and getting her down safely from the power line was a feat that they didn't know how to do. But they did figure it out. So she remembers the hero that helped her. I remember looking him in the face. I said, you have to get me down from here. I don't know how much longer I can hang on. And he said, we are trying, sweetheart. We're almost out of there. It like makes me cry.
Yeah.
Kennedy was rushed to the hospital with broken bones, a severe leg and arm injury. The doctors could not save her leg. They had to amputate it. And Kennedy's parents were told she might not walk again. Everyone in the room was really upset and she couldn't tell what was wrong. But she told them like, hey, it's going to be okay. I'm going to get through this. Kennedy defied the odds. She now has a prosthetic leg and is walking again. She's in an intensive physical therapy to get back into all of the activities she loves. And she's getting there, running and dancing. She played soccer, and before the accident, she was on the soccer team. So her senior night, she got to play, or she was put in the game, and it was like an incredible moment after being told she would never walk again.
Yeah.
She also got a prosthetic leg for running, so she's getting into running again. So let me go into like her personal account on TikTok now.
Okay.
I'm going to show you the picture. And we can post this on Instagram, but let's maybe have like a warning before. So it's like swipe if you want to see
graphic content.
Yeah. Which it actually doesn't look that bad when you first look at it because you don't know what you're looking at.
Yeah.
Okay, so listeners, go to our Instagram and check out what we're talking about now.
Yeah.
Okay, so there's a power line. In the middle of the power line, you're like, what is that? It looks like a t-shirt maybe hanging from the power line. No, it's a girl. She's hanging on by a broken femur. So one of her she's fully upside down. Her head's, you know, fully upside down. One arm is hanging fully upside down as well, because she went into great detail in one of her TikTok videos about how her arm was completely ripped off and it was just hanging on by her skin.
Yeah.
So her arm is just hanging there. And then what's keeping her up?
Where's her head in this photo?
Her head, like, this is her hair.
Okay.
And then this is okay.
Yeah.
But what's keeping her on the power line is a broken femur that's completely broken and like folded over the power line.
Oh my gosh.
Keeping her hanging there. Okay. So I'll stop sharing my screen so we don't have to stare at it anymore.
Nuts.
So she went into how she crashed. Like in the article, it doesn't really say. She was upset, I think, about a boy, but she didn't really go into details.
All men are trash.
She went up to this hill to watch the sunset with her friends, which was like 5 miles from her house, super close. And this is like an innocent high school gathering. Like they're sober. Yeah. They're going to go back to her house and bake crepes after this, but she's sad and on the hill and she's like crying with her friends. And then they get into the car to drive back to her house and she's crying so hard driving that she lost control of the car and crashed.
Oh my gosh.
Yeah. So
I didn't know that detail.
Yeah, super sad. And then her friends were seriously injured as well, her two friends, and they have recovered. She said they're back to normal and living a normal life now. But somebody came across the scene of the accident and called 911. And she has the recording on her TikTok. And they are like trying to convey to the 911 operator what is going on. And like the 911 operator just can't comprehend it because it's like somebody's hanging by a power line from their leg.
What? Yeah.
So he's like, somebody needs to get here right now. He's so calm during it.
Yeah.
He's like, somebody needs to get here right now. People are seriously injured. There's two people in a field seriously injured. And there is a girl hanging by the power line by her leg. And the operator is like, what?
When you hear that, you think of like, you know, like the monkey bars when you were like younger and you'd put your legs up and then you'd hang down. Yes. Like, that's what I'm picturing. It's like, okay, just like, why is she doing that? You know?
Yes. So then somebody else comes on the phone and is like, you're going to need a bucket truck. Like, come out here. Like, you are going to need a bucket truck to come save her. And then you hear him yelling to them like, hey, we're getting help. Hold on just a little bit longer. We're going to help you, sweetie. Like stuff like that. It's really sweet. So she kind of documents this whole journey on TikTok and her story, and it's super fascinating. So I recommend going and watching it. So kick it Kenny_9, but if you just search like girl hanging from power line on TikTok, she'll come up. And it's her pinned videos. And I went to her Instagram where she's sharing more of her recovery journey. And she is really doing as good as possible in this situation. She's super positive. She actually just moved out of her house and started college. She's now 18. Her leg had to be amputated, but she's, you know, thriving with her prosthetic leg. And she actually just had arm surgery with that arm. And is starting to regain use of that arm because it was, she couldn't use it earlier. So they are like starting to restructure her arm and is regaining some use there. And yeah, it's just like, she's very, very positive. She uses humor as like a coping mechanism, I'm sure, but also a way to tell her story. And it's just like really fascinating. And yeah, there's a lot of, people with disabilities that share their story online. And I think it's really great. And this is not a lifelong disability she's had, right? It's just like an accident that happened to her, but as soon as she was able to, started sharing her story, which is just like Very cool. I'm sure it's like somewhat healing for her to do that. Yeah. And it's also inspiring for other people. So I followed her on Instagram because I'm really curious to like see the rest of her healing journey. And I'm rooting for her. And I was immediately drawn in because like, it was like a very funny video that she did.
Yeah.
And just like a shocking story, but happy that her friends are okay and that she's leading this new life with a lot of positivity.
Yes, I remember seeing this video and I didn't like dive too much deeper into it. Like I didn't know all those details, but I was like, that's crazy. And not that I actually want to see footage of the car accident, but I'm just like, I am actually so, I like cannot comprehend how she was thrown the way she was. And then like obviously survived. That is amazing. Yes. And I'm really happy. And I think it's just like, just the story of how she even got there. She was like sat over a boy, her and her friends were just watching the sunset. Like we used to go to that hill by your house.
I know. I literally thought, I thought of that right away. There's a hill right by my St. Cloud house. That's like, you can see all of Stearns County from it.
Yeah.
See the sunset. So beautiful. We used to go up there all the time.
Yeah, like just like good, clean high school fun, hanging with your friends. Obviously, like it's a tragedy, but I'm so happy they're okay. And I'm happy that like she can like cope and is being so positive about it. That's amazing to see. But that story is like absolutely crazy.
Yeah, I really recommend going to her TikTok to like hear her tell the story.
I'm going to go after this
storyteller. But for following on her journey and her updates, Instagram's the best place to be.
Okay, cool.
Yeah. Wow. Yeah. I know. Crazy.
Yeah.
All right, guys. That's it for this week, guys, gals, and everybody in between. We love you. Thank you so much for being here. Remember to smash that subscribe button, share this with a friend, leave a review. Have a great week and stay happy.
As happy as you can be.
Bye. Thank you.